You are listening to the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast, Sociology 101. Switching gears, I want to talk about data science.
Were you typing?
I was. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you blanked out. That's super annoying. There's got to be a way to turn that off. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, Facebook. This is Google.
I mean, I want to address this briefly because it kept happening on the podcast. And I was like, why do you keep cutting out? Is it just bad bandwidth? So Google Hangout now mutes you if you're typing. Thanks, that's awesome. But it can't tell if you're talking while typing. It'll still mute you, which is like super obnoxious. So like James is just mouthing silently, and I'm like, wait. Anyways, what were you saying?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
So I want to talk about Facebook and data science.
Do it.
That's what I want to do. Yeah, I got to figure out how to stop the typing issue because I take notes so I know what we talked about when I'm making the podcast up. Anyways, Wolfram Alpha, your favorite guys, they created a thing. I think we talked about it a while ago where like you give them access to your Facebook data and they tell you cool things about yourself.
Yeah.
So they've been collecting all of this.
That's awesome.
And anonymously, of course, you know, whatever, anonymously. And they started analyzing it using Mathematica and some other cool things. And so they've come up with what they would deem as personal analytics. And I just thought it was cool. And by the way, Mr. Perry shared this with me earlier in the week. And then I read about it later on. And so I was like, oh, okay, perfect. I'll share this. It talks about the distribution of your number of friends. The median number of friends on Facebook is 342.
Really? The median number? Oh, man. I'm super popular. That's awesome. That makes me feel good. I like being well above average.
There you go. They had some other stuff. Oh, yeah, this was interesting. So they were also able to look at it in terms of who – what's the distribution of your friends based on your age? Okay.
Interesting.
So people at age 15, it's all between 15 to 20. People who are 20, it's like this huge spike around 20. At 25, huge spike at 25. 30 is 30. 35 is 35. 40 is 40. And then it gets interesting. At 50, there's a huge spike at 50. And then a secondary spike at age 20.
Kids.
Nice. Yeah, within a slow. So it's like spike up at 20, then it goes down a little bit, and then huge spike at 50, and then way down. And then at 60, same deal, man. But now it's at 30.
Interesting. Right?
And it's an even bigger spike at 30 with another pretty big one at 20, and then it slowly goes down. Until 60, there's another spike. And then at 70, they said it's across the board, but that's more of a sample size. It's just very small type of thing. But yeah, so you're like, okay, kind of what I would expect, I guess. But cool. We are friends with people who are our own age, which they suggest probably has something to do with the fact that, you know, when we're going to school and stuff like that, we're around people who are all around their similar age. And things like that.
Well, yeah, but I like how as an adult, you're still friends with people around your same age, and except for your kids and your friends, your kids' friends, you know, that's sociologically, that's an interesting question. Like, you'd think as you'd get older, you'd spread out more, that you wouldn't spike so hard around you would think that as you get older, you'd start to level out your distribution of friends. You'd think as a 50-year-old, you'd have as many 30-year-old friends as you would 70-year-old friends, and like they'd be, you know, yeah, maybe you'd be clustered or more around you, but you wouldn't think you'd spike super hard as you get older. You'd think you'd be more diverse.
So then the other thing that they were talking about here is part of it could just do with the age of Facebook itself, you know? Excuse me. Let's fast forward 20, 30 years. And, you know, where all those 20-year-olds are now 50-year-olds, you know, it'd be interesting to see what their distribution looks like.
Well, I almost guarantee it'll change just because of your legacy of over time. I think I think the average number of friends will go up, which is why this is almost more valuable information in from a sociological perspective, because it's not tainted by time. It's tainted. Mm. It is who are your closest friends, people your age, and your kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They talk about relationship status over time. They're all like mostly single until looks like around 30. About 50% of them are married, and then by 40, it's like 80% of the people are married on Facebook, and it just kind of keeps going. But yeah, so there's that. What did they talk about? And that they said that sometimes there's goofiness on, like, kids will say that they're married. Typically girls.
Yeah.
will claim to be married and do that kind of stuff.
Playing a house. You just gotta get over it.
Over Facebook.
The fairer sex. So silly.
They said that Facebook's population, according to the people who, again, shared their information with Wolfram Alpha, it's not even close to the U.S. Census population. The U.S. Census is just kind of like very much flat until it hits 60, and then it gradually goes down, whereas Facebook is up, huge spike at 20, and then is almost practically zero by the time it gets to 70.
Right.
Come on,
70-year-olds. Get into the game.
What was the other one? Oh, they looked at the median number of friends by location. And so Russia doesn't have a lot of friends at all. Who was more?
That's sad. It's because it's so cold.
Russia and China don't have a lot.
China.
Let's see here. And then places with higher friend counts were like Iceland, Brazil, and the Philippines.
Nice.
He goes, or Mississippi. I don't know. Goofy, I suppose. I thought this was super interesting. They looked at the people who list their hometown and their current city to see the probability that they're in the same U.S. state. And they said that it varies by age. So obviously,
15-year-olds probably live where they their hometown.
Yeah, so it's like right around 20. We'll call it 18. All of a sudden, there's this huge jump in the chances that they're living in a different state than they were born in.
Yeah, college.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, okay, totally makes sense. But then it actually go back down a little bit. After those 4 or 5 years, which seems to indicate that people go away to college and a lot of people return back to their hometown. And then what they did was they made this really cool, complicated graph. It's a circle with all of the 50 states on it, and they're arrows basically saying where people going to. So an arrow goes from a state to another state, and then the bigger the number, the darker the arrow, essentially.
Yeah.
So you can see where people are headed. Surprise, surprise, there's a lot of very big arrows going into California.
Yeah.
And New York and New Jersey, places like that. There are a lot of people leaving Illinois.
I was gonna say, Illinois.
And Texas, which I thought was interesting.
People are leaving Texas.
Yeah,
look at that. They are not getting very much traffic their way at all.
Yeah,
well, that's not true. California's sending quite a few people there. It looks like it's a pretty dark arrow.
They have a good exchange there.
Yeah.
They just have all the other ones that are just so small. You're like, yeah, well, yeah.
Right.
You're mostly just leaving. And then they actually show it again.
Yeah. Sorry, Iowa. Iowa doesn't even get arrowheads. That's ridiculous. They're like so small you can't see
Iowa.
Them. Nice job, Iowa.
You know, that's there. And then they show up between countries. Probably just sample bias, but all the arrows are going to the U.S.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of...
That might be a bit of sample bias.
Bigger. There's that. Median friend count goes... Oh, so this was really interesting. So what they did was they compared your friend's friend count to your friend count. And what they found was that you tended to be friends with people who had more friends.
Oh, interesting. Not me.
Yeah.
I make sure I'm only friends with people with fewer friends than me. So that I can be the most popular one in my circle.
Yes.
Turns out I have a problem with being, you know.
But as a general rule, how do I say this? Oh, yeah, here we go. They also noticed that people with lots of friends tend to have friends with fewer friends than themselves.
Right.
So, well,
mathematically, that has somebody has to.
I know, but they were showing that on average, that's the case. So, like, so on average, the people you are friends with have less friends.
Right. Well, no.
Even if you're even in the low friend count zone, that's the case.
No, wait. I thought you just said your friends didn't have more friends than you.
Totally separate stats.
Okay. Say those two things again.
Okay. So first stat was people with a lot of friends tend to be friends with people with a lot of friends.
Okay.
But so, which also means people with not a lot of friends tend to be friends with people with not a lot of friends.
Right.
And then what I was also saying was that, but on average, your friends have less friends than you.
So you're the most popular. You tend to try to be the most popular person you know.
Yes.
You clump around. Then once again, that makes total sense, because if my goal is to be the most popular person I know, I am not going to befriend people that are more popular than me, which will essentially make me the most popular person I know, but also limit my friend group to a smaller group of friends who, like, That's cool.
And then
I love it when you get statistics like that, because it makes me feel a lot better about the fact that I'm so obsessed with being the center of attention.
and then what they were able to do was cluster your friends, okay?
Okay.
Which I've seen this stuff on LinkedIn, where essentially what they can do is they look at your friends and who's linked to your friends, okay?
Yeah.
And they can say, oh, here's a group of people that are all interlinked. They are a group. Okay, right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, like, they give example. He did it for his daughter. And so he says, like, there's this huge clump for school. There's clumps for different summer camps. Then there's a clump for a sports team. And then there's, like, this one-time event, essentially. So he goes, so there's these clumps that people have. He shows a bunch of pictures of them. But then basically what he does is he goes – and these clusters, I guess not clumps, clusters. And so what they show is the mean number of clusters versus age. And the idea being that when you're like 15, you got like 3, which I think they said were like school, family, and something else. Maybe sports, whatever. And then it slowly goes up to about 4 when you hit 30 and then levels out. So for the most part – we have like 4 main groups of people that we hang out with on average.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then,
I wonder how individuals would define that, because that's like how many different groups are you a part of? And I wonder if you would find that, what's fascinating about this is just like great, you know, sociology. This isn't just Facebook Wolfram Alpha. Yeah. This is like, how do we structure societies? You know, if you were to ask me how many different groups of friends do I have, I'd probably say like, I could probably list like 30 different groups, or, you know, at least like 10 different groups with like 3 subgroups per each, you know, I think for me, like I over define my groups that I'm a part of. Whereas I'm sure Facebook would be or Wolfram Alpha would be a little more ruthless about defining, no, those people are all part of the same group. But I would definitely say that, like, I'd have 2 different school groups. I'd have a high school group and a college group. I'd have I guess my fraternity group would be part of my school group. But I guess that's fascinating. I wish they could do more than just like the cluster of friends, but also like the intensity of activity, where you could have like different regions within each group. Cause I guess that's how I would define my groups. Yeah. I have like my fraternity group is technically in my school group. They're a subcategory, but the intensity of those interactions are way higher than like just my classmates, especially as time has gone on.
Yeah, interesting. You know what I mean? And all I can really give you is that what they were able to do is they looked at the how many friends on average are there in your largest cluster?
Yeah.
Okay. And what they found is that it's usually around 100 friends. And, you know, and that's – so, again, it doesn't give you
so quite what you're looking for. A third of your group. Well, that makes sense. Most people have about 300 friends, and a third of their group is one cluster.
Yeah.
Wow. That's astounding research.
Well, you know.
Okay, that was all really harsh.
And then it kind of shifted gears to do we care about this? Yeah, we do. To what are your interests? What are you interested in? And what was the big one? There was a big takeaway here. I wish I could remember it. But basically what they found was that when you were a kid, you cared about talking about social media. I guess we're still kids. You cared about school or university, and you cared a lot about video games, especially if you were a guy. And then when you hit like your 30s, you care about travel, and you care about like food and drinks and family and friends and your career and money, I guess. And then your fitness starts to pick up a little bit. And then as you get even older, you'll talk about like the weather and politics grow significantly, especially for men as they get older. And then their health, as like for the females when they hit like their 40s, becomes a huge deal. And some of the other stuff totally drop off, like video games are gone, school, university, obviously gone. About relationships.
You know, this goes back to that age-old adage of sometimes there's stereotypes because they're true.
Like, it's true. Yeah, totally.
It's not unfair to say that, like, you know, yeah. So sometimes it's unfair, but like the data just proves it. Like, that's the kind of people we are.
And at the very beginning, he was like, unfortunately, this supports a lot of stereotypes. We were hoping to find something interesting, but we were surprised to find nothing interesting.
Nothing interesting, yeah. Yeah, pretty much everything you thought is true. It's
what you expected now. But he goes, but the cool part about it is with Facebook, you literally have the data to look and go, yep, it works the way we thought.
That's hilarious.
Amazing. And so they talked about how, oh, there's so much more we wish we could do. For now, we were just playing around with the data, and we wanted to share it with you. And obviously, okay. I mean – yeah, obviously, I think Facebook's, because they have all of this, there's some pretty incredible things that they could do looking at it from a data science point of view. But yeah, I thought that was super interesting. Just a bunch of – there's some Facebook facts for you. That's what math will get you.
I think it's interesting that fashion's an interesting one too, because there's obviously a delta between the males and the females, but it's not a very big delta, and it like travels almost exactly the same the whole way. That one's, which I guess that's like the battle of the sexes between everything is sort of the interesting on some of these, that they're, you know, there were special occasions. Politics, special. Dude. I love the politics one's hilarious because that is so true.
The guys, sports, man.
Yeah. It just keeps getting, the delta keeps getting bigger as time goes on, man. And yeah, that's basically what my newsfeed is. It's interesting that men tend to talk about travel as time goes on. And I wonder if that's more related to business travel or something like that.
Maybe.
Which, you know, now you're really getting into the nuts and bolts of your stereotypes. But cool. That's awesome. That's fascinating. Fascinating. Cool.
Facebook. There it is.
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah. Nice job, Wolfram Alpha / Facebook. If you guys want to check out those pictures and stuff, highly recommend you go to furloughbros.com. It'll be there on the website. All those pics.